listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Okay, John Carpo is no stranger to many of you, but to some of you, he is a new face. John has been around this church, actually, for well over a decade. And John came to us from Sierra Leone. He found a bride in Lindsay. And since they became husband and wife, they now have three lovely children. John has recently returned from Sierra Leone on a previous journey. He had taken Josiah, his eldest son, with him. That was very special. But John is invested in Sierra Leone with rescue ministries, reaching children, blind children that are castaways. John reaches out to those people. More recently, he told me of an outreach to widows, Muslim and Christian widows in the in Sierra Leone. And whether you know it or not, we as a church raised money many, many years ago to build some buildings. There are some sister churches, daughter churches in Sierra Leone that bear the name Cornerstone Church. That has mushroomed to at least 12 churches now, led by disciples. What a ministry. And now John is preaching revival meetings throughout the country of Sierra Leone. God is using John mightily, and we're so grateful that he's part of this house. John, come on up here. Let's welcome John as he shares with us the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Well, I want to say thank you, Pastor Larry, for the great opportunity you gave me when I came to America. I was a total stranger here. I didn't even know what to do when I came. And God used Pastor Larry to encourage me and to strengthen me. And today I preach not only in Sierra Leone, but around the world. But I just want you to know that I am not a normal preacher. I offend people all the time. So get ready to be offended this morning. That's why wherever I go, I just preach and I leave immediately. I'm happy that, you know, God is doing some great things in this church. Like Pastor Larry said, I've been here for a long time. I am not a guest speaker here. No, I am not. In fact, for your information, in America, I am ordained in this church. So I carry the grace of Cornerstone Church. My license is from Grace Harbor, Cornerstone. So whenever I cause trouble, they will arrest Pastor Larry. I have my family here, Josiah, Jeremiah, and my binti, three of them, doing well. Lindsay, come forward. Just give a round of applause for this great woman of God. Now, if you are a pastor and you are doing well, God is responsible, but your wife has a major role to play. God knows no woman can handle my tight schedule except this woman. So that's why she came all the way from Grace Harbor to Sierra Leone to meet her own husband. Today, this October is our 15th year, 15 years when we met in Sierra Leone. It was in October 2007 that she came by herself. She was 22 years old, little girl, when she came. And today, God has blessed us abundantly, and we are growing not only in material things, but also growing in grace. So whatever I preach, even when I'm in Africa, she prays for me. That's our tradition. And so she's here to do her normal job.
Let's pray. Lord God, you are so good. Your goodness overwhelms us. We praise your name. And Lord, I just pray as the words come forth that you've given my husband, that they would touch our hearts and transform our hearts by the renewing of our minds as we learned earlier today. Lord, may we leave this place transformed and changed and prepared to tackle the things that are outside of this house. Lord, some of us have come in here weary and downtrodden and beaten up and exhausted and fallen down. But Lord, you're so good, and I just pray for you to fill us with your strength and your goodness. Lord, fill us with your joy and your peace that surpasses all understanding, that we may go out and make disciples outside of these walls. We give you praise and glory. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's say amen. Amen. Well, I'm bringing Sierra Leone here this morning. If I say hallelujah, you say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Good. There's going to be an interactive message here. For us in Africa, we are very loud people, extremely loud. And so when we preach, we shout and we dance and we glorify God. Not because of anything, because God is the way maker. He is Alpha and Omega. He is a miracle working God. In Africa, every day is a miracle day. So we don't even talk about miracle because there are many miracles that happens all the time. You know, when you go to churches, every revival or every crusade, every service, people are healed, people are transformed, people walk, you know, the blind see, the lame will walk. That's just a normal way. So, in fact, he's a miracle working God in Africa. And so the Holy Spirit is, that my brother is saying about spiritual attacks. As you are going out to reach people, be ready for spiritual attacks. That is why the Holy Spirit is very important to have in your life. A Christian without the Holy Spirit is like a vehicle without gas. You just be on the same place all the time. You need the Holy Spirit. Now, wherever you go, like for us, sometimes people are ready to kill you. I went to a place one time to preach, and they poisoned our food. The food was poisoned. Now, the Holy Spirit spoke to me that food is poison. Now, can you imagine? Without the Holy Spirit, we would have died by this time. So it gives you discernment. A Christian should always pursue the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you are nothing. Nothing. And so I have a short message for you this morning. We love to prepare people for heaven. The church, Jesus Christ is coming very soon. He is on his way. Are you ready to receive him? If he comes now, can he say, "Come home, thou good and faithful servant"? Or will he say, "Depart from me, I know you not"? So now is the time for us to prepare ourselves for heaven. Heaven is a way that we should always be prepared for. Now, can you imagine you've been in church for years? And when you die, you don't make heaven. That's terrible. It's going to be very frustrating. And now, I want to prepare your mind that heaven is a place that will be great for all of us. I want to go to heaven. And you also want to go to heaven. Now, I have a subject here I always treat that's very important in the church. But for us, we don't see it as very important. But it is very serious. Now, I want to talk on a subject I titled, "Why should I forgive?" Now, we want to talk about forgiveness here this morning. All of us here are struggling with forgiveness. Everybody. In fact, as you are coming to church this morning, somebody just offended you on the way. As you are driving, somebody just cut you off and you were angry. I want to talk about forgiveness because we want to prepare ourselves for heaven. Heaven is a place we have to go. And so this is, why should I forgive? It's a question we have to answer this morning. Why should you forgive and why should I forgive? You know, I struggle with bitterness in my life. That's why I love to teach on the subject. I am not preaching here, I am teaching. Because we all have to understand why it is important to forgive. Sometimes forgiveness, you don't know what you're going through. Some people, you see someone very nice looking, but yet the person is struggling in his or her life. The things in the inside. Now, God does not value the outside of man. He looks at the inside. We can be jumping, we can be shouting, we can be praying, but God looks at the heart of man. And so I always want to prepare a man's heart, because here are the issues of life. Now, Genesis chapter 50 from verse 15 to 21, I always like to read. Anytime I preach, I use God's word. So if you sue me, I'll use the word of God to defend myself. Now, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." Now, this is a story of Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Now, here is an account of it. Now, so they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Now listen, let me stop this. Forgiveness is difficult. It's a very hard thing to do. Even Joseph, Bible says, he wept when he was told that his father said he should forgive his brothers. Let's go to the next verse. "His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.'" Now listen, because of the crime they committed against their brother, they now change their status from brothers to servants. Now here, "But Joseph said to them, 'Do not fear.'" Now today we spoke about fear. "Do not fear. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it good for me, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Some people will offend you, thinking they are doing you evil, but God will change that to good in Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. "So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Wow, this is a very powerful message this morning on this area on forgiveness. Why should I forgive? It's a weeping message, because every one of us here is struggling in one way or the other with offenses. We are being offended every day in our lives. In fact, let me tell you, no sooner you leave this church, somebody will offend you just after service. It's a normal lifestyle that there are people who are just into offend people all the time. Even as a church member, you know, people offend you. Even as I'm talking, you might be offended right now. It's a normal thing, you know. So I want to go through this thing. So we're going to pray that God will help us. You know, the Spirit of God is in us, but sometimes unforgiveness will take it away from us. You know, you can be praying, you can be jumping. Without forgiveness, there will be no Holy Spirit that will dwell inside your system. And I want to prepare your mind. If you want God to move. Now, let's go this way. Why should I forgive? Number one, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. Why? Because the Bible says, no man is perfect on this earth. We all are sinners. And so we come to church to confess our sins, that God forgive us. But if you don't forgive others their sins, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God will not forgive your own sins. You come here, you pray, you go home, you are the same person. Why? There is no forgiveness in your hearts. Now, Matthew 6 verse 15, what is Matthew 6 verse 15 says? It says, "But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your own trespasses." Hey, if you don't forgive those who have offended you this morning, no matter how you pray, God in heaven will not forgive your sins. This is something very serious. You know, we always look at the other aspects of life in church. It's good. But I want you to prepare your heart that God in heaven will be happy for you. So when you pray, he will listen to you. This is a point. If you do not forgive others that have offended you many years ago, not even today, some of us, we still carry our old grudges. Now, people, they have been offended like 20, 25 years ago. They still have that grudge in their system. Let me tell you, no matter how you pray, God will not forgive your own sins. This is something that we need to understand. It's going to be a very quiet message. It's not that jumping and shouting message. This is a very quiet one. But you have to understand, we have to understand this very well. But God wants us to forgive. Now, Mark 11:25, what it says? Now, it says, and whenever you stand praying, listen to this one, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so as your Father who also in heaven may forgive your trespasses. If you come here to raise your hands for worship or for praying, hey, make sure there is no grudge in your system. Or else you are just making noise. Just ordinary noise. God is not there at all. So I want to prepare your mind to pray. Sometimes you have to weep. Say, God, I have been struck with this all this while. Offenses. People have these offenses. They take them from one point to the other. Hey, forgive so that the Father in heaven will forgive you. Now, if you stand praying, if you come to the altar, you know, I was a young pastor. I was so bitter against my aunt. She never liked me when I was growing up. I was preaching, but bleeding. And the Lord said, John, you're just making noise. Forgive. I was making noise. Loud, loud noise. Nothing was in the hearts that was good. And so we have to prepare our minds that God will make us, things will happen well. Now, Colossians 3:13. He says what? Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. That's the word, must forgive. Forgiveness is hard. Now, in certain areas, they don't preach about forgiveness that much because people struggle a lot with forgiveness. Offenses. Now, marriages are broken. Now, we have high rates of divorces around the world based on unforgiveness. Do you know why people divorce? Because they can't forgive each other. And yet, we are Christians. Even in the church, people move from one church to the other because why? Wherever they go, they offend them. And let me tell you, we'll keep offending you wherever you go. Because God says his word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Whatever you do, people have to offend you. You know, I preached a message on forgiveness in Sierra Leone, and I was driving home so happy that God has done something in the church. And I was driving home, this guy with a motorbike came and took my bumper off. He jammed the bump my car. He took, bam. I was inside the vehicle. I was so angry. And the Lord said, hey, John, you just preached about forgiveness just now. The Lord reminded me of my message of forgiveness. And somebody just offended me after I preached. So that's how offenses are. They come to you every minute. In fact, it's come from people that you don't even expect they will offend you. But the Bible says, let us forgive. Why should I forgive? Because one, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. The number 2 points here of forgiveness is that so that your worship will be acceptable. You want God to accept your worship? Forgive. Now, Joseph forgave his brothers. They sold him into slavery. How can my brother, my blood brother, sell me into slavery? And God says, forgive. Forgive. Now, here, say, your worship. So when you come to church to worship God, those hands, they are holy hands only if there is no grudge in your system. It's difficult to understand this point. But Matthew chapter 5, from verse 20 to 24, says what? If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, that's the vice versa, or you have something against your brother, what the Bible says, leave your worship or your gift there before the altar and go. First, they say what? Be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift of praise. If there is anything against somebody in your life, before you come to worship, make sure you release that praise from your heart, or else your worship is in vain. You know, we want God to move in our lives, but this is very important. The system here, the heart, is very important. Say, if you have anything against your brother, the Bible says, go first, reconcile before you come to the altar to worship. Those hands are not holy because there are grudges, offenses you carry. You know, there are times we say these things in church, we ask God to help us that we forgive. It's hard. Even Joseph, the Bible says, he wept. He was weeping. He wept. Now, our marriage, me and my wife, survived for this 15 years or so because of forgiveness. Without forgiveness, we'll not be like this today. Why? We are cross-cultural people. We came from different backgrounds. I am a Sierra Leonean, an African. She's an American. We don't have the same way of behaving. She is quiet and organized. I am loud and disorganized. She wants everything in order. I disorder everything. Now you can say it's just that. That's why we have forgiveness and forbearance. She now has what's called forbearance. She accepts who I am. She's okay now. We come to the house in the bathroom. We have our paste. She wants you to start squeezing the paste from down. I'll just squeeze from everywhere. And no sooner she comes to the bathroom, she knows, oh, John has just used the paste. That's a system. You know, when we got married, she will never tell me that I'm doing something wrong. She will go to the bathroom and start crying. One day I told her, I said, Lindsay, if you don't tell me what I'm doing that is wrong, I'll keep offending you all the time. And so now she tells me, and we keep forgiving each other. That's all. There is no perfect marriage in this life. There is no perfect life in this life. No. All of us here, we have our own weaknesses. But all we do is to try to forgive each other. In the church, your colleague or your friend in church will offend you. What you have to do, forgive, because your Father in heaven will also forgive you. This life is very interesting. There are people who are full of offenses. Hey, the bitterness in their life is so huge that they are now in trouble with everyone around them. Forgive as a Christian. God will forgive you. Psalm 66 verse 18 says what? If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not have listened to me. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, no matter your prayer, I want to say this, God will not answer your prayer. Your worship will not go up in the heavens. Now, no sooner you start to worship, the heavens are closed. Why? Your iniquities. Now, there are obstacles between you and God. There is no way he can listen to you. Now, for us in Africa, when we have revivals or we have programs, we go on fasting and prayer, asking God to forgive us. There are times we don't even know what we have done. We have sins of omission, sins of commission. We ask God, maybe I have committed a sin that I didn't even know. Lord, please forgive me. And if anybody has offended me, I forgive that person. I will keep pressing on. Or else your Christian life will be a question mark. When you die, you want to go to heaven. Going to heaven, hey, your heart condition. God doesn't look at the outward appearance of man, but the inward. When I came to Grace Harbor, I was one of the only black African here. And I was really offended by many people. Yes, I was. People don't like me. In fact, some people, when they see me, they thought, oh, who is this guy? I went to a church, you know. The only time I survive is when I go with my wife. Then they will say, oh, well, that's well, it's okay. One day I went to Safeway. I wanted to send money to Africa with Western Union. I met this lady. I was just coming from church. I went to preach at Home Tillips Church. So I went to Safeway to send money. This lady was so rude to me. My goodness. She was so mean. The way she was talking to me, she was throwing the paper at me. And when I gave her the money, she was so mean. I was standing there and asking God to help me. Lord, give me grace. Give me grace to withstand this embarrassment. It was public. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, no sooner she gave me the receipt, a lady from the church where I preach turned around, hey, John, how are you? I said, thank God I did not respond badly here. I would have been in trouble by this time. And so the lady, no sooner she knows, the woman knows me, she started smiling to me. I said, that's okay. I'm fine. I was offended, but yet I never had any grudge for anyone. I learned to forgive, and today, the things have changed. In Grace Harbor, wherever I go, John, they call me by name. Because why? They know me. If I would have been in that grudging way, it would have been in trouble. My father-in-law never attended our wedding. No. He never likes me. My wife's dad, no. He was very angry that his daughter is getting married to a guy like me. And so I came, God, I met other people that were praying for me. We prayed. We never had anything against him. I loved him. I prayed for him. And what happens? God made a breakthrough. Our prayers were answered. Number one, he never had boys in his life. So he was looking for a boy, and God has given him two grandsons. And who are the grandsons? Kagbo grandsons. Now he comes to the house. He eats with us. He makes jokes with my kids. Because why? We never had any grudge against him. I prayed for him. I loved him. You know, let me tell you, it's hard to forgive somebody who doesn't like you. But that's where the Christian life lies. How you respond to those who hate you. Hey, I want to pray for you today. As you are going home, remember those that have offended you. Ask God to help you. You can be a powerful preacher, but with all the offenses in your life, God will not even listen to what you preach. I try my level best to forgive people who offend me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says what? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all form of malice. Now, when you have unforgiveness, you gossip a lot. Anyone who likes to gossip is someone who does not forgive people. Talk about people. Talk, yes. Any gossiper is not a worshiper. It's destructive. Now, unforgiveness is like cancer. It travels around your system until finally it eats you up. Remember this foundation today. As a Christian, Jesus Christ is coming very soon. He will not come when the place is very loud or when it is quiet. He will come where you will not even know it. He looks at the heart of man. You know, I always tell God, no matter what happens, God knows my heart. I try to do what he wants me to do. I cannot be a hypocrite. When I preach, I don't preach for you to be happy all the time. I preach that God will transform our lives. When I preach myself too. Because as I'm going home, maybe one of my sons will offend me on the way. I have to forgive them. Now, here is a point. Let all bitterness today, all wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from your life. Ask God in a quiet way. That's why I said this is not a loud message. It's a quiet one. Very quiet. But it has, you know, God will pass through the still voice. He comes through us when we are quiet. Have this way in your life. Let slander be taken off from your system. Our churches today are not growing in the world. I'm not talking about, I preach around the world now. The reason being, people are so easily offended with the truth. Wherever I speak truth, people are offended. But let me tell you, these are the last days. People have itching ears. That's a problem. But we are not afraid to preach the truth, because the truth will set us free. The last, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. It says, if my people, if Cornerstone Church people, you are called by his name, will humble yourselves, pray and seek his face, and turn from our unforgiveness, then I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive your sins and heal your land. Let's pray this morning that God will help us to forgive. It's very hard. Your spouse has offended you, forgive. Your children have offended you, forgive. Your parents have offended you, forgive them. Some children have something against their parents. Some parents have things against their own kids. Let me tell you, forgive, and God in heaven will forgive you. The last one as I close, the third one is so that you shall prosper in all that you do. Now, forgiveness brings prosperity. Now, let me tell you, money is not prosperity. People tend to say you are prosperous. It's not about money. You can be rich but poor. You can have everything around you, but yet you are struggling with your life. You know that people who have money but they cannot eat their money, they don't have appetite to eat. They are sick. They are troubled. Well, here is a blessing. You shall prosper in all that you do. Now, Job 42, verse 10, what does it say? Now, and the Lord restored the fortunes, they are here, the prosperity of Job when he had prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, Job's friend mocked him. They judged him wrongly. And God said, pray for your friends. Huh. Somebody who has condemned my life. Somebody who has treated me wrongly. The Lord said, that's why the Bible says, pray for your enemies. Huh. How can I pray for my enemy? But the Lord says, pray for them. And Job prayed for his friends, after which God restored his fortune. He prospered more than before, twice as much as he had. Joseph forgave his brothers. He became the prime minister of Egypt. God turned things around. Today you might be struggling. The reason why, unforgiveness is a problem. The sickness in your body will move off if you forgive people. Healing will take place if there is forgiveness in your life. Bitterness is dangerous. It's a very dangerous thing. Let's learn to forgive as Christians. You want your marriage to grow? Forgive your spouse. You want your family to be happy? Forgive each other. The church to grow? Let's learn to forgive each other. Or else, we are going up and down with all type of offenses. Ask God today. No matter what they have done to you, let me tell you, there is time for every purpose under the sun. One day will pass away. And what will happen when you face the judgment seat of God? You say, hey, I know you not. You were a worker of unforgiveness. You never forgave those who offended you. Learn to forgive. In Sierra Leone, we have the Bloody Diamond War. 10 years of war. People's arms were amputated. People were killed all over the place. And so after the war, we had to go about preaching forgiveness to the people. so that the resentment would go away from them. Resentment can destroy your life. It can become sleepless when you are bitter about something. Ask God this morning, as you come to church today, forgiveness should be part of your life. You can weep, you can cry, and ask God, I have been weeping all my life because I would not have gone back to Sierra Leone if not for forgiveness. They never treated me nicely. No. But yet God says, I brought you here for your people. Go back and be of help to them. It's sometimes difficult for me, but I have to go. People might think I love going to Africa. No. It's a mandate from God. How can I leave my family like this and go? No. But God says, I brought you here so that you can connect yourself with people so that you can be a blessing to your people. It's a mandate, all in the name of forgiveness. I am an orphan. My dad is dead and my mom is dead. No, what I am due to Africa? No, I have no parents there. I would have been in America here for the rest of my life. But God says, go back, forgive your people, and go bless them. It's tough, but I have to do that. Forgiveness brings prosperity. Today, look at us. We are prospering, not only in material things, but also growing spiritually. Now I have influence around the world. People invite me in some place. I say, whoa. Even some presidents will write me and say, oh, John, we have an occasion. We want you to come lead prayers in Africa. Wow. Out of nowhere, why? I choose to forgive. Forgiveness will make you prosper in all that you do. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3 says what? And keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies. And it's within the law of Moses that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Keep the laws. Forgive people. It is a very difficult thing, but we have to forgive. Now, hanging on to grudges and resentment from long ago or recent past can add to relationship and mental health issues. There are some mental health issues that are caused by unforgiveness. Anger is terrible. Resentment. Now, contributing to ongoing depression and anxiety and complicating life in general. Stressful life. Unforgiveness. Now, perhaps resentment over a past conflict or betrayal has clouded your relationship with your spouse. Perhaps dwelling on how a friend, maybe someone you no longer see, once hurt your feelings, or your current stress is caused by that. Perhaps you are clinging to the past, pain, always disappointed when you reflect on those things. Holding on to past pain can also be hazardous to your physical health. A number of studies have linked continued resentment and grudge to high blood pressure. Unforgiveness can cause high blood pressure. Reduce your pressure this morning by forgiving. This is a very quiet message. Very quiet. Reduce your pressure by forgiving each other. I want to pray for you. I pray for myself. You know why? I'm going back to Africa. I am offended every day. In fact, the culture is not a problem. The culture can be very offensive. When I stay in America for like a month or so, when I go back, the music is so loud for me. And when I get there, the people wake me in the morning. Over there, we don't have any privacy. No. You don't sleep until 8 in the morning. They wake you up. Hey, wake up. We don't have any private life. And so I have to forgive them. Go to me, I'll say, you're offending me. In America, I come over here, it's different too. You're just by yourself in your home with your family. That's how it is. The food, thank God yesterday, Pastor Larry gave me a treat. He took me to Lighthouse. And give me a wonderful lighthouse special. We enjoyed it. We had a good time yesterday. You know, my wife gives me some kind of vacation. So when I come home, I enjoy some cheeseburgers before I go back. Forgive. Forgive. If you want to grow in the Lord, forgive. If you want to enjoy your life, forgive. You sleep well. Your heart is at peace. The Bible says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. How dare you be a Christian with grudges all over you? You can be angry, but just for a while. Joseph forgave his brothers, and the Lord turned it around. He became the prime minister. Today, God wants to prosper. Why should I forgive? Number one, that God in heaven forgive you. And number two, your worship will be accepted. And number three, you'll prosper in all that you do. If you want your marriage to work well, forgive each other. You know, marriage is very interesting. Marriage is manufactured by offenses. If you want to know what's an offense, get married. You know exactly what I mean. You'll be offended every day. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray this morning that God will help us. God help us. We are all part of this. This is a very quiet message. You know why? Everyone is in this. We are all guilty of offending people or being offended. I offend people all the time. Even when I preach, I offend people. But you know what? Some offenses are good offenses. I imagine not having a wife who can understand me. It's going to be a problem. You know, my kids always say, "Dad, you laugh so loud." And my wife will say, "You have to bear it out. Your dad is like this forever, and I'll be like this forever. I'm going to be loud forever. That's how I am." You have to just forgive me. Forbearance. Cornerstone Church, this has been my church for 10 years now. I've been preaching here. Whether I offend you or not, forbearance. I am your brother forever. I go nowhere. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. You know, I wept one time in church when I was preaching on forgiveness because I had something against somebody. And the Lord reminded me, say, "John, forgive your brother. It was difficult." I want us to pray. This is your own time. Jesus is coming very soon. He says, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. The King of glory is coming soon. Let our worship don't be noise, but it should be accepted unto heaven. Let your prayer don't be noise, just words. Let there be no barrier between you and God. Forgive. I have forgiven everybody in my life that have offended me. Everyone. One after the other. Some people, I go tell them, "I forgive you." Some people, I say, "Forgive me for what I have done to you." Let's pray. Just pray in your hearts. If you are with your spouse, I want to call my wife. Please come. Let's join hands here. If you are with your spouse, your husband or your wife, please hold hands. If you are with your children around, please come. Yes, personality there, yes. I want to pray. As we go home today, our families will be at peace with each other. Our church, there will be cleanliness in this place. There will be no grudges that will go up and down. God will make a way for us. As spouse, God will make us forgive each other. And God in heaven will see us and forgive us. I want to ask my wife to pray because She forgives me more than anybody else. Please pray.
Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we've all had issues where we've not been able to forgive for one reason or another. Lord, will you please show us in our minds and our hearts right now areas where we have not forgiven, maybe those in our own homes, maybe at the place where we work or go to school. Lord, maybe people in the past that have hurt us, that we've just held on to for so long. Lord, we ask that you would shed that from our hearts and our minds, God, and we do forgive those. We do forgive those who've wronged us in so many ways. And Lord, help us be a conduit of forgiveness in all situations. May we have soft and tender hearts, and may we be quick to forgive and slow to hold on to things that are painful. Thank you, Father. I pray for those that are married in this house. Lord, that you would give us special grace with our spouses and that we would represent you well in our homes and in our families. And for our children and our parents and maybe aunts and uncles and just family members that have wronged us, we just pray for forgiveness over them. Lord, those that we work with on a daily basis that are just hard to get along with, Lord, please help us forgive them. And maybe we need to ask them to forgive us as well. May we be examples of your goodness and the forgiveness that you shed for us as well. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. What a powerful word. Can we show our appreciation to John, the servant of the Lord? Thank you, John. Thank you, John. I remember when John first preached. He preached for an hour and a half. John, you've learned not to offend. Oh, this is so good. Well, here's what we're going to do. I got to say a couple things. We're going to go into the fireside room. And in the fireside room is going to be soup. But just a second, before you got to have grace here. That room has been used on three different occasions this morning. Byron pushed out an Hispanic service out to Ecuador from there early at 9 o'clock. We did have to transition for the children's group. And now we're transitioning by putting tables up for the house to come and have food. So just be a little patient. We're going to get those tables up. You're going to get your food. And while all that's happening right now, I just want to say this. How many know the Bible does say there is such a thing as faith, hope, and love? Come on, say that with me. Faith, hope, and love. Now, while that is true, John preached the message on forbearance this morning, forgiveness. And that's how we are to operate. I have a question for you. What's greater? The greatest of these, Paul said, is what? But what is greater, love or holiness? Love or holiness? The greatest of these three is love, but what is the greatest? What is love greater than holiness? What's the language of heaven? What are the angels bowing down and saying unto the Lord our God, holy, holy, holy? How many know we got a long ways to go here and a short time to get there? The truth of the matter is God is refining our life so we would be a holy people on this planet and we would represent God well. Because the Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy. Take what John has shared with you. Apply that to your life so we can be a holy people in this region. Let's pray for the food right now in the fellowship. Remember the assignment. You're going to leave today having made what? One new friend. At least one new friend. not limiting, but just at least, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word that John has shared with us. So vital to our journey. And as we gather around the table of the Lord here today, Lord, we're asking that the fellowship would be great and wonderful. Bless the food, the hands of all these people that have prepared it. And Lord, we're also asking that we will network relationally and that we would take it upon ourselves to at least make one new friend today before we leave the fellowship of Cornerstone Church. May we go from this room to yet another with your grace and loving on each other as servants of the Most High. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, visit with one another. Move your way over to the other part of the building, and we're going to have some sweet, sweet fellowship. God bless you. Go in the name of Jesus.
You're listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.